I want to get to our guest joining us now. Has joins us every week thanks to our friends at Lucky's Trailer Sales in Peterbilt, Vermont. It's our ESPN insider. It's Buster Olney. How you doing, Buster?
I'm doing great. What's going on?
How about Devers? He is on fire. 8 straight hits. He went 6 for 6 yesterday. 4 doubles. He's just been crazy.
He went 6 for 6 yesterday? Buster, is that right?
He went 6 for 6 yesterday.
Wow.
He's absolutely going crazy. I was looking at his numbers earlier today that, you know, he's on pace to finish the year with about 210 hits to go along with something like 37 to 40 walks. So he's going to get on base 250 times. He's on pace to have about 93 extra base hits. It's good to be 22 years old, and you're on pace to have 210 hits, 90 extra base hits.
Right.
You know, when we talked to Alex Cora earlier in the year, and he talked about the adjustments that Devers had made, you know, being less rotational in his setup, just allowing his great hands to work, he said that makes all the difference because his hands are so special, because he can get the bat to the ball so consistently, and that's what we've seen this year. And look, there's so many questions around the Red Sox as we go forward. You know, what kind of team and who's going to be who's going to be head of baseball ops and what are they going to do with Mookie Betts? But there's no doubt Rafael Devers is going to be a big part of their future.
Oh, he just looks fantastic. And I can't even believe I have to ask this. Is this a fair comparison? I mean, it's Trout and Devers a fight for the AL MVP, or is it still Trout on this one?
No, Trout could take the rest of August off, and he's going to run away with the MVP.
Wow.
You know, wins above replacement, and I don't have the numbers memorized, but I believe that as of this morning, Trout is at 7.4 wins above replacement, and the next closest player in the American League is like 5.3.
Wow.
So he's running away with the MVP award conversation.
But would you say it would go Trout, Devers, Bogarts, 1, 2, 3, or would you put a pick? I mean, how do you feel about a Garrett Cole or a Verlander mixed into that?
Yeah, I think DJ LeMahieu, Yankees, he's been... But it really is. There is no argument about who's going to be the American League MVP this year. The argument is about who's going to round out the ballot 2 through 10. That's how far ahead Trout is from the rest of the players in terms of being the best player in the league.
See, us pair of 50-somethings, we don't think sabermetrically. Yeah. We just think, well, he's leading the league in this, and he's second in that, and it's all about home runs and RBIs for us.
It's not batting average, home runs, RBIs anymore. That's not it.
No, it's funny. I'm sure that, first off, it's clear that the voters through the years have gotten more sabermetrically inclined. They're looking at those numbers, and wins above replacement isn't the end-all be-all of all statistics, but it wraps a lot of statistics that people care about and creates one number. And when you have one player so far ahead of the others, then it makes it a shoe-in. And I think even people in baseball are starting to realize that. You remember the year that Trout, in his rookie year when Miguel Cabrera was going for the Triple Crown, and that winner, and Cabrera won the MVP award and Trout finished second, I remember I was doing a long article on Joey Votto, and he looked at me just out of the blue. He goes, "Who would you have picked, Trout or Cabrera?" And I said, "I would have taken Trout because he did so many more things as an all-around player, his speed, his defense." And Joey just looked at me and nodded and said, "That's the right answer." And I think a lot of the players are starting to feel that way too.
Buster, you mentioned Mookie Betts. I mean, it seems like there's a little bit of conversation now that wasn't there maybe 3 or 4 months ago about what in the world to do about him. I mean, I assume he's going to ask for north of at least $300 million. And, I mean, is now the time, if an offer comes that you can't refuse, to restock some of the farm system or whatever the Sox might do in a trade with him?
I think that they have to explore it. Look, the first thing you have to decide to do, and you guys saw the report by Dan Shaughnessy, that Dave Dombrowski's in trouble, potentially to be replaced after this year. You have to figure out who's running your baseball ops, and that's the first question for that person, whether it is Dave or somebody else, where they're going to have to come in and say, what's the strategy with this player? You know, they've made overtures with Mookie in the past. I don't know what exactly the numbers they put in front of them are. A year from free agency, it would not be out of the realm of possibility, sanity, that you could offer him $300 to $350 million, given what Trout, you know, the 6 months before his, or a year and a half before his free agency, got $430 million. You know, I think $350 million is probably right in the ballpark. That would be the second biggest contract ever. But one of the questions, and we don't really know the answer to it, Mookie hasn't addressed it, is does he really want to stay in Boston long term?
Right.
And if the answer is no, and if the Red Sox front office believes the answer is no, then absolutely you should take him out of the market and see what you could get for him, because it's clear when you watch Sale and you see what else is going on with that rotation, there's a reckoning still coming from having a team with a lot of older players.
You know, Buster, I saw that quote, and I'm going to give it to you right now. It says here, one Red Sox official said, we want him to be the face of the franchise, but it's hard to know. He's rejected our outreach in the past. We know that he's open to signing a year before he hits free agency at the end of next season. Does Mookie, is it Boston? You know, when you lose Kyrie in basketball, now you're losing Mookie. It just, you know, they kept Tom Brady, but it doesn't seem, you know what's going on with stars? Either they don't come or they leave. What's going on here?
Well, I'd say this, with Mookie, my sense of him is that he doesn't really care that much about money.
Right.
But I do think he understands he's a prominent member of the union, and whenever he signs his long-term deal, whether that's with the Red Sox or whether that's with a team as when he reaches free agency in 14 months, that he's going to go for what the market dictates that he should get. But if your starting point is that he would rather play someplace else,
yeah.
And again, if you're the Red Sox and you feel that way, then sure, you should take advantage of his value while he still has it. And look, I don't begrudge anybody. I mean, that's what free agency's for. It might be that he'd prefer to play someplace closer to Nashville, you know, where he grew up. Maybe he wants to play in Chicago. Maybe he wants to play in St. Louis. Maybe he wants to play in Atlanta. But wherever it is, I think the Red Sox have to get a read on that this winter and react to it. And, if Mookie wants to play someplace else, that's absolutely his prerogative.
All right. And on the side note, let's say the Red Sox do get a King's ransom for him, an offer they can't. They
wouldn't
get. But I would say, what happens if it's from the New York Yankees?
Well, I mean, first off, you know, there's no chance of Conrad.
Right.
There's no way they would deliver Mookie to New York.
Yeah.
But on top of that, they would not get a King's ransom.
Really?
Before. We saw that because, a year away from free agency.
Right.
At that point, teams are like, well, we're not going to give up three prime prospects for a guy for 1 year and then watch him hit the marketplace. I mean, that was the reason why other teams didn't step up and give up a lot for Manny Machado.
Yeah.
And, they preferred, they were offering, B-minus type packages, but they weren't going to give the A-plus package for a player who's about ready to leave.
Mm. Buster, heading into the offseason, I know I'm getting ahead of myself after they just took 2 of 3 in Cleveland. Now everyone's getting excited again.
Yeah.
But I mean, do you get the feeling they're hamstrung by all these contracts or that they might be fairly active in the Hot Stove League this year?
Yeah, they're hamstrung. I mean, we've been talking about it the last couple of years. And that's why when you look back at the 2018 World Series, hey, enjoy it. But it was like Christmas. It was like spending, putting all your Christmas presents on a credit card. And Christmas morning was great, and you had a great time. But the next day when the credit card bill comes due and your farm system's not that good and it needs restocking, and part of what Dan wrote in his column is true, that a lot of people have left the organization, and it's probably complicated the rebuilding of the farm system. And now you have this massive investment in Chris Sale, and it's an open question about how good he's going to be during the course of the contract. And if Mookie doesn't want to stay, and if J.D. Martinez, winds up opting out of his contract, and you have an older roster to begin with, there are tons of questions. In the immediate future, the Yankees are really well set up. Who exactly is going to be in the Red Sox rotation in 2 years? Who's going to be in the Red Sox rotation next year that's, a sure thing to be healthy? You're going to have David Price and Chris Sale probably on the downsides of their careers coming forward, and the Red Sox are going to fill in the gap.
You don't think there'd be, you know, I brought this up with Brady when he's, Brady's very quiet today. We don't know if you noticed that, Buster, but, you know, I brought, right.
Yes.
You know, Chris Sale, the way the Astros always pick up that big time arm, nobody went after a Chris Sale or a Price, especially as they're, I know you got 4 years left on Sale, but Price, what do you have, like another 3 years left?
Yeah, but at a fortune.
Yeah, so I'm surprised nobody, yeah.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt.
Yeah,
I was going to say, I mean, Chris Sale has a ticking time. I mean, David Price is a ticking time bomb in his elbow. No one's going to take on that contract knowing that David Price is a partially torn elbow ligament. So that was never going to happen. And with Chris Sale, look, we talked about it in the spring when they gave him that contract. Oof. That people at other teams were shocked that the Red Sox invested that kind of money in him sight unseen after the physical problems at the end of last year. And you know, what we've seen this year could have only underscored those concerns, because while on a given day he does have a good fastball and he does have a good slider, he's consistently demonstrated this year, and you know, you hope it gets better for his sake, for the Red Sox sake, but he's consistently demonstrated this year he has a difficult time maintaining his stuff throughout a start, and that is a classic red flag for a pitcher getting older and losing the consistency of his stuff.
Buster, over to the Yankees, I asked this to Tom Caron yesterday. I mean, they won today again. I think that's their 94th straight victory with a bunch of guys I've never heard of.
Yeah.
Is it unfair that we may not be appreciating what they're actually doing this year in light of the fact that they're going to probably end up facing Houston? Everyone's already got Houston and the Yankees all set to battle it out for the ALCS.
Well, and I do think it part of what's, because they're the Yankees and they spend a lot of money and they, you know, they've got more, you know, they've got big contracts and they've got big stars like Giancarlo Stanton who are expensive. I do think that the excellence that is being absolutely overshadowed this year in the Yankees is, my God, their front office has done a great job identifying players.
Yeah.
You know, Gio Urshela picked up from the Blue Jays and basically a dump, where he was sent to the minor leagues, and Phil Plantier, with the minor league hitting coach, makes a great adjustment, and suddenly they have an all-star level player. That kid, Michael Tauchman, who's filling it in the outfield. It was out of options. The Rockies weren't going to keep him. The Yankees analytics department, which has picked up a lot of these type of guys the last couple of years, you know, they identify him, they get him, and he's a really important player now. DJ LeMahieu, you know, putting more in stock in him than a lot of other teams did. They have done that over and over and over and over, to the point that I do think that the Red Sox front office, part of their self-evaluation, no matter what its composition, they need to ask the questions, okay, what are we not doing? Because it's pretty clear that the last couple of years, the Yankees have been better at identifying those types of guys than the Red Sox and many other teams have been. Yeah. And to your point about the, you know, the Astros, it's amazing how things can change quickly in a short series. And believe me, I'm not wishing ill will on anybody, but, you know, a comebacker through the box in the first inning of a playoff series, you know, a pitcher gets dinged up, a starting pitcher, and all of a sudden those, you know, the advantage for one team to the other can really change in a hurry. And I do think the Yankees are, you know, they're okay matching up with the Astros. Not great. They're certainly not as good as Verlander and Cole, but if they play rope-a-dope through the first five innings and get through that time relatively close in games, the advantage suddenly swings to them because they have a better bullpen. And because of the way that off days are structured in the postseason, they can go with an opener and like a Chad Green in a game three, and they can have some success with that.
All right, Buster, before we let you go, the website Awful Announcing came out with their list again of the top major league, or they ranked all the Major League Baseball announcing teams. I'm just wondering, growing up, because when I moved to Los Angeles, I mean, I had Vin Scully, I had Chick Hearn. I mean, we had icons there. Growing up, you have a favorite one or two that you used to love to listen to, or what?
Well, you know, for me, Ned Martin and Jim Woods, because I listened on radio, and that's on WDEV. That was the only the only station I could get before 7 o'clock, and then when the signals began to bounce, then, you know, KDKA in Pittsburgh and WCAU.
Yep.
You know, all time, I think it's tough to beat Vin Scully.
Oh, yeah.
I personally like, and I, you know, again, as Dwayne Kuiper said to me, we can do whatever the heck we want. They don't have a set rotation in their group. The Giants broadcasting team is outstanding. where, you know, you have John Miller and Mike Kruko and Dwayne Kuiper and Dave Fleming. That would be another group that I would go for. For me, Ned Martin and Jim Woods, I learned so much baseball from them to the point that I think I've told you guys this story that I think I scared Ned Martin with my enthusiasm when I met him in spring training in 1989.
I love that.
Yeah, I was the same way. I met Ken Coleman once, and I almost fell on the floor. I just couldn't even breathe. It was like meeting my favorite rock star, and he was it. So it was the same thing.
People ask me, how great was it to meet players? Like, and I'm like, I don't, players, no. Ned Martin, I couldn't wait to meet him.
Yeah.
I love it.
Hey, I don't know if you have an answer for this, but is Jessica Mendoza doing okay?
Yeah, how's she doing?
And I just out of respect to her, I'm waiting for her to speak on her behalf.
Okay.
I've exchanged, text messages with her and hear that, she's getting better and feeling better. And I'm sure that was a scary thing. I haven't dug in any of the details about exactly what happened, but, because of the fact that she got, a concussion, and I think everyone's kind of trying to leave her alone because that's what you do with people with concussion. They're not supposed to be contacting and talking to other idiots like me.
He's Buster Aldi, our ESPN insider. We have him on every week. Thanks to our friends over at Lucky Trailer Sales and Peterbilt of Vermont.